بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 21st of November in the year 2020 and inshallah to spend another session talking about the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways, unusual ways, that we as believers can detect that Allah the Almighty and Glorious has a great affiliation for us is the way He addresses us. In the glorious Quran, whenever Allah the Almighty and Glorious addresses the believers, He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. But when he addresses the unbelievers, there's a difference. He says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Say to them, O unbelievers. So what's the difference? When Allah the Almighty and Glorious talks to us, he's talking direct. O believers. But he doesn't talk direct to the unbelievers. He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them. So just from that, you can detect something. That Allah the Almighty and Glorious, His love for us is intense. But it's easily missed. And what's shocking is it's a famous surah. قُلْ يَا أَيُّوَ الْغَافِرُونَ Why doesn't it say, يَا أَيُّوَ الْغَافِرُونَ Why قُلْ? Who's Allah Ta'ala telling to say to, he's saying, tell them. Say, O unbelievers. But when he talks to us, he goes, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. All praise therefore be to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, about which the respected Shaykh Habib Alawi, rahmatullah alayh, in his commentary of Al-Ratib by his great-grandfather, Imam Al-Haddad, who died 1132 AH, page 52 of the English translation, he stated, There is nobody besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is exalted or praiseworthy in reality, literally and figuratively. Anyone within the creation that possesses a virtue or has arrived at a thing for which they earn praise has never achieved it by their own power and strength, but rather by the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His will, favor and mercy. All this is from Allah and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, whoever praises a created being, exalts them for a particular trait, then bear in mind, their exaltation and praise is only in comparison to the defects that are found in his like. However, conversely, exalting Allah and praising Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is in reality an exaltation and praise for Him. He who knows this knows it, and he who is ignorant is ignorant. SubhanAllah. So let's break this down. So obviously, this is a respected Shaykh. He was a Sayyid, a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habib al-Alawi. And he's writing a commentary of the work of his great-grandfather. So it's strange, his great-grandfather wrote a work called Al-Ratib. And his great-grandson is writing a commentary on it. And what he's basically saying is, that whenever you praise anybody, the thing that you're praising him for, was he born with it? No. Right? Could be anything. Could be to do with the deen, could be to do with the dunya. It's something that he's acquired. So if he hasn't acquired, if it's not his, then who gave him that? Shouldn't the praise therefore be to the one who gave him? And then he says, also, when you praise somebody, your praise is only in comparison to the defects that are found in him. Meaning, you've praised him. Okay. Do you know his defects? And if you knew his defects, what would happen to your praise? So you go, mashallah, look at this brother. He's regular. He prays 5 times a day. And somebody goes, brother, do you know that? He mentioned something negative about him. Suddenly the praise gets weaker. And then more defects, where's the praise gone? It's gone completely. However, Because when you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hasn't earned it. It's innate. He hasn't acquired it. He goes, he who knows this, knows this. He who is ignorant, is ignorant. So examples. So give you, you know, so that you understand what's being said. You praise a person for his generosity as compared to others. So for instance, if I said Brother Ajmal is a generous brother, mashallah. If you go, compared to Uthman radiallahu anhu, you go, come on brother, right? And he goes, oh, you said he's generous. So the praise is only, you can value it when you compare it to others. If somebody goes, this person's generous, but question now. When you praise Allah Ta'ala for his generosity, can you compare? Because it's innate. You're going to, the penny's going to drop here. Otherwise, your tawheed's faulty. It's innate. You don't say, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala is so generous. But what, brother? What? Who, what? Right? Even our beloved messenger, the greatest of creation, the mercy to the universe. Who gave him that? Right? So when somebody goes, he never said no. SubhanAllah. But who gave him that? Right? So there you go. Another example. A person is praised for his compassion. Because this person's got a tender heart. But then somebody goes to you, compared to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, oh, brother, what are you doing? And he goes, you know, he's got, don't compare him to the giants. But there you go. When you talk about Allah Ta'ala's compassion, can you compare? You don't say he is so compassionate. But what, brother? What? Right? But when you talk about anybody else's compassion, you can say that. Brother, mashallah, may Allah bless you. I'm telling you now, I know somebody's got more compassion. A person is praised for his wisdom. Because this person, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala's blessed him with knowledge. Compare him to Imam Ghazali. Oh, brother. Right? You don't compare somebody to Hujjat al-Islam. But you said he's got knowledge. I'm just saying, look, you know, where's his knowledge? So the knowledge can only be appreciated when it's compared. Except Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say he's the all-wise, people just rattle that name out. He's the all-wise. What does that mean? He's the all-wise. It means you don't compare. Because it's innate. He never acquired it. It was with him. It's his attribute. Think about that. Can you think of anything that just gets something automatically? No, you can't even say that. That's even wrong to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had it always. It's his sifat. A person is praised for his forbearance. He goes, look, people say things, but he's got a very long fuse. And he goes, compared to Muawiyah, oh, brother, what are you saying? Right? And he goes, well, you compare, and then you find out where the forbearance is. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is the forbearing. You can't compare. All this is in addition to the fact. All of that is enough to blow your mind. But then there's another part of the equation. Those noble virtues of the creation can only take place with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the praise of the creation can only be made when one compares it to others. But this is not applicable to the Almighty and Glorious. When you praise somebody, you don't even know what your brain's doing. It's comparing. That's why your praise is coming. See, the wrong goes off because he's a generous brother. Because you've compared him to something. So when somebody goes to you, Allah Ta'ala is the most generous. See, the wrong blows up, mate. Because he hasn't got the capacity to understand that. He goes, what, compared to what? We can't wait. Compared to who? Laysa kamithli shay. There's nobody comparable to him. That is why shirk is unforgivable. What did the Shaykh say? He who knows this. He who is ignorant is ignorant. Why? Because people don't explain tawheed. All this is tawheed what I'm explaining. Somebody goes, why is Allah Ta'ala so majestic? Play the tape back. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Where that one at? He is the best of those who show mercy. Where that one at? He is the most generous. Where that one at? Those all praise belongs to who in reality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does the Quran open up with? Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Tawheed. The very first verse Allah Ta'ala says, this is the book. Alif Lam Mim Zalik al-Kitab. In Surah Fatiha, what does he say? All praise is for Allah. Meaning you understand that, you won't fall into shirk. But guess what? Have you understood it? Just was a lip service. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Brother, you have to understand what you're saying. The companions, what did I mention? What dua would they make when they were praised? Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun waghfir li ma la ya'lamun waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. Tawheed. This is in Ibn Hibban, Sahih Hadith, Bayhaqi, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, relates similar. Meaning. So imagine, if you saw Abu Bakr Siddiq, you had the honor to see him, radiallahu, and you praised him. This is what he'd say to you. Can you imagine? Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not hold me to account for what they say about me. Forgive me for what they don't know about me. And make me better than what they assume. Why would the Sahaba say in this dua? Because they goes, why are you praising us for? Praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in their duas, there was tawheed flowing. Each one of those statements is incredible. Do not hold me to account for what they say. They've praised me. If anybody deserves praise, it's you. Nobody else. They've praised me. Astaghfirullah. He goes, Ya Allah, forgive me. Don't hold me to account because they're praising me. Secondly, forgive me for what they don't know. Meaning, if they knew my failings, they wouldn't praise me. The fact that they're praising me is because you are hiding my failings. And yet they're praising me. And make me better than what they assume. Meaning, give me true greatness. So that somewhat I do deserve something. That's the dua. Now somebody praises it, you go, Jazakallah khair, brother. Right? Jazakallah khair, brother. What the heck sort of response is that? The Sahaba would hear praise. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Ayat al-Sahaba. He goes, if you knew my failings, not even two of you would follow me. How many students do you have? Thousands. Tens of thousands. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He didn't like people following him. He goes, what the heck is this? He goes, if you knew my failings, two of you wouldn't follow me. Tawheed. He goes, praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't know that dua, you say, Alhamdulillah. Somebody goes, MashaAllah, Tariq. You, MashaAllah, you're rock solid. You do this. So what's your response? You can say that dua. If you don't know that dua, you say, Alhamdulillah. You've diverted it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rebound. Meaning, no. Praise goes to Allah ta'ala, not me. Indeed, veneration of our loving Lord should be paramount in our lives. So let's give you a few examples. So Imam Ghazali, we know who he is. Do you know who his brother is? His brother was called Ahmad Ghazali. So now what's interesting, two brothers, one's called Muhammad, one's called Ahmad. What does that tell you about the mother and father? They're calling their sons after the Prophet, Muhammad Ahmad. So Muhammad, Maulana Muhammad Yunus Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, in his Scattered Pearls, volume 2, page 26 to 7 of the English translation, he relates. Muhammad Ghazali, i.e. Imam Ghazali, and Ahmad Ghazali, his older brother, Rahmatullah Ali. They were brothers. They lost their father in their childhood. They were brought up by their mother. Once Imam Ghazali said to his mother, my brother doesn't offer salat behind me, mother. Because your son, my brother, doesn't pray behind me. So please request my brother to pray behind me. Why doesn't he pray behind me? So consequently, Ahmad Ghazali reluctantly joined the congregation because his mother told him off. However, after one rakat, he broke his salat. He left the congregation. So he joined to make his mother happy. But after one rakat, he walks off. This incident again troubled Imam Ghazali. So he told his mother again. He was summoned and his mother goes, explain your conduct. So, Ahmad Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, dear mother, the first rakat he offered was with full submission, humility. But in the second rakat, his concentration went somewhere else. That's why I left the congregation. I offered Salat alone. It's up in the report. What? He's awliya. So he had that much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was praying behind his brother. So with the first rakat, he was focusing. So he prayed. Soon as his mind went somewhere else, he goes, see ya. He's off. Karamat. So then the mother turned to her youngest son, Imam Ghazali. He explained, what's happening to your mind? He replied, my brother's right. Before the Salat, I read a book on fiqh. And there were some rulings relating to bleeding after delivery, which I was thinking about. Thus, in the second rakat, that came back into my mind. So, the mother thereupon sighed with grief. She goes, alas, neither of you are any use to me. You're both a waste of space. So the two brothers, they were looking at each other thinking, what? So they became disturbed. He goes, mother, why are you saying this? The first one said, mother, I experienced kashuf, manifestation. It was because of that I brought my salat. Imam Ghazali goes, I was still thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was thinking about his deen. The mother replied, one of you was lost in issues relating to nifas, menstruation, right? And the other was busy examining his brother. None of you were thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why none of you have any use to me. This is recorded in Da'wat Idil, page 211 as well. So now, what the, you know, like we say, what on earth is happening here? So what was the mother wanting her sons? The mother was wanting her sons to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She wasn't bothered about the miracles. Think about that. You know, if one of your sons says, kashaf you think, oh, I put on, come here son, right? Would you give him a slap, right? Think about it. He just had a kashaf. What sort of kashaf is that? Shaitan playing games with him. Why is he looking at his brother's heart? What sort of a salat is that? Well done. Imam Ghazali is thinking about nifas, you know, bleeding after childbirth. Right? Mother goes, you're both a waste of space. Because none of you are used to me. So now think about this. Subhanallah, such training to such venerable souls. And what was the mother training them to do? To venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, do you know who you're worshipping? Or they're just mechanics. And you look at this and you be honest, I think both of them are awliyas, mate. I'll kiss both of them on their feet. Never mind give them a rebuke. Yeah, because go back to that, what I mentioned about Tawheed. Praise, you're praising them, are you? Why are you praising them? Who gave them? Oh, yeah, Alhamdulillah. There you go, Tawheed again. Mother's teaching them Tawheed. In Salat, it's a training. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salat, the meaning of the hadith, is a self-correcting mechanism. It sorts out your life. Where's the proof? The hadith is in Bazaar, authentic. This sahaba goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a man praying behind you and he commits theft. So basically, what's the point of praying behind you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him. Salat will deal with it. And what happened? He stopped committing theft. Now look how intelligent the sahaba was. He didn't mention his name. If you mention his name, the Prophet has to apply hudud. So he was protecting him. He goes, there's a man, meaning, very good. What did the Prophet say? Astaghfirullah, is he committing theft and he prayed behind me? Was that? Didn't say anything. So Salat will sort it out. If you offered it properly. Salat, therefore, corrects your life. People say, why do I need to pray? Why is God wanting me? He doesn't need you to pray, brother. Get that out of your head. He's giving you something as a gift to sort your life out. Imagine somebody goes to you. You got a million problems. I got a million problems. There's a cure for it. The cure is Salat. Don't you want the gift now? It sorts all your problems out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Hakim, Salat is the key to all goodness. All goodness. Not 60%, 20%. But note the training of Salat. How the mother was giving the children the training. He goes, what sort of salat is this? And it's all about venerating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is part and parcel of Tawheed, subhanAllah. To mention one last one. Maulana Muhammad Yunus Palampuri in his Scattered Pearls, volume 4, page 60 of the English translation, he said, a man was offering salah when a weeping woman with unveiled face, uncovered head passed directly in front of him. So picture this, this man's offering salat and his woman's hair is showing and she's grieving. When the man finished the prayer, he got very angry and said, how shameless, how can you walk around bareheaded and your face unveiled? You even passed in front of me when I was praying salat. The woman apologized. Because I apologize, Sheikh. However, I'm going to explain to you now something. My husband divorced me. This is why I'm in this state. I was not aware that you were offering salat. And this is the reason I passed in front of you. However, what amazes me is that whilst my love for my husband blinded me so much I didn't see you praying, your love for Allah did not turn your blind to my unveiled face. Hassan al-Basri thereupon said, I still remember those women's words. Indeed, the condition of our salat is deplorable. If we are praying in the lower portion of a house, someone in the upper story calls our name. We are quite aware that someone is calling us. So much for our attention during salat. This is recorded in Tamanna Idil, page 40. Look at the tawheed. The woman told that man, I'm grief. I lost my senses. My husband's divorced me because of my love for my husband. Where's your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You was aware of me. I love my husband more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, shame on you. And Hassan al-Basri, he goes, atom bomb. He goes, those words are still ringing in my ears. Meaning, look, we say we're Muslims. MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. It's just like gup shop, innit? It's like a gup shop now. It's a hobby, innit? Hobby Muslims. So look at this, to mention it again. What amazes me, whilst my love for my husband blinded me, so much so that I did not see where I was going. Your love for Allah did not turn you blind to my unveiled face. SubhanAllah. We seek our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and ask Him to strengthen us all in a true veneration for His exalted Son. Ameen. So note, when talking about Tawheed, people fail to talk about the real matters. Right, and the real matter is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great He is, how unique He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of worship. You know, when they ask you that question, why does God want you to worship Him? Our response is this: He deserves it. Because isn't that arrogant? No, it isn't. Right? Because the reason you don't understand that, because you haven't got Tawheed. Then he looks at you like that. And the tragedy is, we don't understand that statement. We heard it. What? Hasn't he got a point? Right? There you go. You haven't understood the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He deserves the worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that he needs it. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. That you worship and prostrate to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. So what I mentioned today was basically talking about the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and some very interesting and informative reports in this area. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa bihamdika min ash-shaytan shim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr insan lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.